Alright, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Track Limits podcast team. We're going to do something a bit different today. We've got a bunch of us here in the booth. We've got myself, Phil, and Deval. But we've got two new guests here for us, two other brothers of the family. We've got Chris and we got Josh in here to give you a bit of intro about them and our bond here in the Track Limits team. So stay tuned, you don't want to miss it. Right.
I'll start. Who shall I do first?
You've done me before.
Who should we interrogate first?
Let's go with Josh.
Let's go with Josh.
Okay, yeah.
Right, Josh, introduce yourself.
Well, hello. It's a pleasure to be here. I have actually been on the podcast before.
Yep.
But, on episode one, yeah.
When you sat behind the microphone.
I've had to build up to this point to actually stand in front of the mic. But yeah. Been with you guys for a while. Yeah, for a while.
Another one of the Leicester, University of Leicester motorsporting family.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Alumni. Mm-hmm. It's been racing family.
It's been 2013 when we met, wasn't it? Our first car.
2013, yeah.
Yeah, that's seven years ago now.
What?
That's a long time.
Yeah. So, why do you like motorsport?
I like motorsport. Well, my dad's always watched motorsport. It's kind of, I feel like that's the way that most people get into it, you know, if their family.
Yeah, you've got to kind of have a role model in it that again gets you in it, isn't it?
So I would just sit down and watch Formula One with him, late 90s, Damon Hill, Jordan, and basically got hooked seeing the success of Schumacher and just never stopped. That I got bitten by the bug.
Mm. Get what you mean? Do you go to Formula One events a lot then? Are you?
I try. I'm very, very fortunate in that I've been to Silverstone for almost 10 years. So since 2009, pretty much every year.
Because you're loaded.
It's not cheap, is it?
No.
No, and we go in style as well.
I'm going to get straight to a very deep question for you now, since you've been there for more than one era. What's it like comparing it to your first time?
Classic.
Motorsport.
That's not what I meant.
We'll skip over that.
For the first
time watching cars go around a track in different eras.
Well, yeah, I mean, actually going to the F1 was probably the first time I ever saw a car go around a track, which sounds ridiculous, like in the flesh.
Ever the V8s.
V8 era, 2009, Jenson Button in the Brawn. And the crowd was amazing.
He never had a podium though, did he?
No, that was meant to be his year, and it was actually meant to be the last year of Silverstone, so that's why we went. We were like, oh.
And that started a good 10-year trend.
And then you stand on the banks and you can hear them all come out the pit lane and they're on the other side of the circuit. They come by, it resonates through your whole body, and then they change gear and it's just bang, it's bang, bang,
bang, bang, yeah,
every time. That was up until 2013, and then 2014 came along, and then that all went, all basically. Went.
They got a bit louder 2015, didn't they, after the first year?
You started looking towards other things. It wasn't just the sound that you went for. Mm. You started looking towards other experiences there at the track as well, and it was more just a whole vibe, that sort of thing. Whereas once the F1 was on previously, you'd all run to the side to watch it. Whereas I feel like some people now are like, it's all right, I'll just sit inside, have a coffee.
Yeah.
Those cars, though, especially since 2017, when they widened the wings and lowered them and beefed them up a bit, they are impressive to go to watch.
They're incredible to see.
They're super
and Beckett's
fast.
And super around that area is incredible.
Beckett's is an amazing place to watch, I have to say.
How they stick to the ground is just like, you know, at that kind of speed.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. But yeah, what kind of other motorsport experiences have you had then?
Well, F1 introduced me to motorsport, and seeing the success of a red Ferrari for many years. But then I started looking a lot wider, actually, probably since I've met you, actually. Spending a lot more time looking at WRC, rally.
Yeah.
It's a great sport. It's just mad. Like the drivers are incredible, probably some of the most talented people out there. Driving varied conditions and across all manner of conditions and places and locations is amazing.
What about your trip to sunny old Barbados when you came to?
That was a highlight. That was a highlight. Yeah, sunny days.
What was that?
Coming,
like?
that was it, an experience in itself, just seeing the whole crowd was just mad about it, because I was watching from the sidelines and kind of seeing just everyone non-stop talking about motorsport. Yeah.
It's just a big party.
It felt like everyone on the island was
in tune.
Exactly, was aware of it. Everyone was talking about it. It wasn't just, oh, some people are interested in it. It's literally everyone. That was cool to see.
Would you say it's like that when you go to Silverstone? Or is it more just, I'm here at Silverstone, yeah, look at me. Is it as in-tuned?
I think some people do go to Silverstone, don't they? Purely because it's something that they wouldn't usually do. Mm-hmm. It's quite
it's an experience.
It's an experience. Oh, I've been to see a Formula One race at Silverstone. Not necessarily perhaps knowing much about the sport, but going there because even if you're not interested, it is really, really,
it is really cool to watch. Cool, yeah.
So to say you've gone and done it, even if you're not interested, I think is a reason why some people do go.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's a high-profile event. Like, it's the largest gathering of people in Britain annually.
140,000 people, isn't
it? Yeah, on a Sunday. 300,000 across the weekend. Yeah.
Mm. For a lot of people.
And that's just trackside, isn't it?
Yeah, for a lot of people, it's image as well. That's you get a lot of vain Instagrammers that go
posers.
Posers.
Yeah, I think we know a couple, but.
That being said, you can just sit down in the stands, turn to your left, and you've never met a person before, and just start talking about the racing, and you know, you can have a whole full length conversation with someone that you've never met before because you've got that thing in common, which is great.
Yeah,
and it's something that you can feel confident enough to do that there, because you know if you're going to go to an F1 race, you must have at least some interest or at least something there,
some reason to be there to experience it. I had a similar experience. That same rally that you came to watch with me, there was a guy there that was watching. I didn't meet him at the time. But I went to the NEC last year, 2019, bumped into this guy, and realized he was wearing a Rally Barbados shirt. So Stacey and I were like, hey, you've been to Barbados? He's like, yeah. So he started asking about Daryl Clark and his accident, because everyone was donating. So then I was like, hey, do you remember the Astra that had the hands on it? He was like, oh, yeah. I was like, yeah, that was me. And he was like, oh, my God, are you okay? So then, you know, we got to talking a bit. We went around. He somehow managed to squeeze Ogier off the stand to come and pose with me and Stacey after saying the word Barbados. And Ogier's ears pricked up like, oh, Barbados, yeah. So that was cool. Just this random guy I never knew that had been to the rally.
Yeah.
And he's been going for years. And then I told him about the new car we were building. So, yeah, I'll come and see you in Barbados. And when he came to Barbados, he came up to me and was like, hey, it's you again. And it's like, you know, where else would you ever have an experience like that? You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, motorsport is, like, yeah.
Far-reaching.
Yeah, far-reaching. Massive.
Moving on.
What about you, Chris?
Hello.
Hello.
I think you should tell people about your current job. I think that's quite interesting.
Okay, so currently I'm a track instructor at a supercar, big race car experience company, who shall remain nameless for the sake of copyright. There are other experience companies available, apparently. Not very good. but yes, yeah, so essentially, you know, people come to the track, and it's my job to teach them the track, show them how to drive a car fast, and make sure they don't die.
It's about successful so far.
No deaths under my
watch. No one dies.
Any accidents?
No, not really. There's been no big ones. There's every now and again, there's a spin. Someone puts it in a field, but there's nothing outrageous. It's very difficult to have a big accident.
I bet I could manage it.
You'd be surprised.
I think you'd be able to manage it.
I'd probably be able to manage it.
It's actually quite safe because you've got a fully trained instructor next to you telling you how to do things. You've got dual controls. It's, you know, you're not on your own. You've got somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah. I think as well, people give it all that. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go and drive really fast. And when you actually get into these cars that are capable of these speeds,
it's completely different.
Oh, I'm a bit scared.
Oh my God.
Oh no, 100%. There's a lot of ego and a lot of bravado involved amongst young males.
Oh, that's surprising.
The amount of people the amount of couples that turn up and the guy's like, yeah, I drive an M3 and I think I'm really quick. And then it's just he gets in an M3 and it's like, oh, God, you can't drive it this fast.
They've got a heavy right foot.
They're either on or off. And then their partner gets in, usually a girl, and it's just they're instantly quicker because they listen. things like there that. There's a lot of bravado involved in motorsport, especially for people that aren't very good.
It's because they don't actually know what it takes.
No, because
one of my friends said to me, obviously because we do a lot of karting, and he said to me, karting isn't something that you can be good at, is it? It's something that you do for like a birthday party. So then he came along and we whipped him. Then he admitted that, oh, okay, you can be good at karting, you can be good at
the icing sport, on the cake would have been if you whipped him on his birthday, just to rub it in. Yeah. That would have been perfect.
I don't think he'd have been having a birthday party.
He's probably not going back either.
No.
That's the thing, though. People come in and they're like, oh, you know, I'm a good driver just because they can drive at 100 on the M1.
Mm.
Going fast in a straight line doesn't make you a good driver. And then you try and do 60 through a corner in which you'd usually be doing about 30. And all of a sudden there's people hanging on to the seat and everything going, oh, you're going too quick. And it's like, I'm not looking at the road and I can do it. It's fine.
Yeah. It's a completely different thing. There's a lot of things you need to unlearn.
Yeah. But
speaking of karting, let's backtrack a bit now. So obviously you know, we've all been involved in karting together, one big family. So how did you get into karting?
Into karting, really it was from my brother. He went to uni first and did BUKC,
mm-hmm.
British University's Karting Championship. And he said he loved it. And I was like, oh, that sounds cool. He brought home a couple GoPro videos. I was like, I want to do that. So then I went to uni. The first thing I did on the
Freshers'
Fair was go and find what was to be ULMK.
We both turned up together.
Yeah, we did.
We lost our karting V plates.
We did
together.
Because I'd known you like 3 days, and I saw him. It's like, I know him. He lives pretty much next door. I was like, I'll go stand next to him.
We'll talk.
Yeah. Perfect. Is this in
big
the
mistake
park?
You made there?
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah. But no, yeah. Went to the stand, and everything, signed up, and then yeah. Since then, can't get enough of it.
Mm-hmm. You've been to Rally GB a couple of times.
Yeah,
and
Rally GB with you lot. 3 years on the trot.
You've
done the Silverstone 24 with Duval.
Yeah, did the Hankook 24 hour as well as the WEC 6 hour.
Yeah.
Little things. I think it was something. Little things here and there. But yeah, my love for motorsport's only come about since joining university.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, it was very much just occasionally watched a Formula One race. I knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't very proactive about it, but appreciated it. Then I was like, oh, you can actually do it for cheap. It's like,
yeah,
cheap.
I don't say cheap, yeah.
Cheap in quotation marks. Yeah, and I was like, you don't have to do this then.
And you've come a long way as well. I mean, I remember the first couple of events that both you and Phil started coming to. It was like, who's these two new kids?
They're fairly quick.
They're passing me. Like this can't happen. And then in BUKC and two strokes, and you know, you guys just found another level, found another gear, quote unquote. And yeah, and now you're working for the company that shall not be named.
A nameless company. Yeah.
They share some very similar wording.
Yes, it does.
With our name here.
That is
that's all we're giving you.
It's not none of my input. It was complete luck. covering myself there.
Yeah. So I think, and one thing I must add from everyone on the Track Limits podcast team is, yeah, we all share a passion for motorsport, right? But most of all, we're really good mates, probably closer than friends. And despite having some run-ins on track, Josh. Josh.
Don't know what you're talking about.
If you go on YouTube and find a certain channel and a certain video, you can audibly hear Dom telling Josh he's a Northern.
Yeah. We might have to put a Grosjean over that.
If you can spell, you might have to.
Yeah. That's much better.
That's a bit of track limits there, that is. But yeah, but getting back to my point is, you know, we all have a bond that definitely can't be broken. I think we've all left university. Duval is still...
He's been going to university longer than I've been alive.
Not literally, but yeah.
Not literally,
much.
But the Duval is our in-house resident GT expert, all things GT, and just, you know, an absolute gent to drive with. And
not the fastest,
but not far from. He will soon take over.
Duval's the gentleman driver.
The gentleman driver.
The professional amateur professional.
Pro-am.
And that basically, you know, sums up what we are here at Track Limits and why we are, you know, doing this for you guys out there listening. So
yeah, we're passionate about it.
We're passionate about it.
Hence why this exists.
Mm-hmm. So thank you guys, and thank you to you guys listening.